In about 2 or 3 weeks after I've laid a foundation on worship, after instead of you coming in here and hearing us praying in the Spirit, we're going to be worshiping God. Amen. We're going to be worshiping God. Now you yell and scream. I don't think you know what extended worship is. Because everything about your flesh is going to yell out. Yeah, everything is, your imagination is going to go wild. How many of you have ever been in extended worship? I'm not talking about singing songs. I'm talking about making songs and melodies in your heart as unto the Lord. Yeah. I'm talking about for minutes after minutes after minutes. I love you. I give you praise. I worship you. I love you. I said I love you. And your flesh is going, he ain't listening to you. Why you think he's listening to you? What makes you so important? And man, after you hear that for a while, you want to go, well, maybe he's not listening, but you got to keep on going. Now, I done preached half my message right there. All righty. Well, I don't know if you were here last week, but man, I think I tore the place up. I preached a message on drinking from the fountain of worship. So we're going to kind of continue in that vein. Last week, we reviewed some concept about extended worship. I don't call it private worship. Well, we want to talk about we talked a little bit about the woman with the well, that worship is not about emotion, but rather it's about knowing who you're worshiping. Amen. And connecting with him. Now get this for a definition. Worship is the fountain of living water. Mm-hmm. Worship is the fountain of living water that flows from the throne of God, God your Father, and is available to every believer. That's worship. That's worship. Now, what we heard tonight was good worship, but that's not the kind of worship that God desires. God desires worship from individual people. Amen. We learned that 4,000 years, or for 4,000 years, that there wasn't a person on the earth that could worship the Father the way he wanted him to. But why? Can anybody tell me why? Why couldn't he find somebody to worship him? And it's not the Holy Spirit. You're in the airport, but land the plane. They didn't have a new nature. Didn't have the right equipment. That's what makes us the kind of worshipers that God is looking for. Although we do have great corporate worship in our services, however, listen to this. Corporate worship is not enough to bring change into your life. Amen. You just won't do it. And there's a kind of worship that'll bring some change. There's a kind of worship that'll baptize your emotions and baptize your senses to the point to where you forget about the world system and you begin to operate according to kingdom principles. That's where you want to go. But let me say this. If you will learn to engage in extended worship, you'll take your corporate worship to a new level. Amen. Whole nother level. You'll blow the roof off this place. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go over to John chapter 16. And you don't have to go over there. That's just about the woman, or excuse me, I'm going to go over the summation of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It is the ministry of the Holy Ghost to literally glorify Jesus. John 16:13. His ministry in the earth today is this, is to reveal. Now, remember this. His ministry in the earth today is to reveal to us who Jesus truly is. Not just to tell us in words, but to reveal to us on the inside of us who Jesus truly is. See, a lot of people, they know the name of Jesus. They know he's your Savior, but you don't know him intimately. God wants to know you intimately. Come on, somebody. In John chapter 16:14, he will teach you how to worship him. He will teach you how to glorify him. He's the one that will teach us to magnify him strongly, that nothing but worship will begin to flow out of us to the Father. Amen. That's worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We must learn his role is to glorify Jesus when we have a petition. See, many of us take our petitions to the Father, but it's Jesus's, it's the Holy Ghost's ministry to teach you how to bring those petitions to the Father. Mm-hmm. The Holy Ghost brings you to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, how does he do that? Through your private worship. As you worship him and magnify him, he'll give you the words. He'll give you the statements of adoration. It'll be free-flowing. It won't be anything that you memorize. It won't be a song that you sing. Although if you have to start there, you can start there. But he'll begin to just flow this praise out of your heart, and it'll begin to come out and come out and come out. And then he'll go, now, Jesus, here he is. Here he is, Jesus. He knows all about you now. He knows you closely, Jesus. And then you'll begin to worship the Father. And you'll begin to tell him, see, they all have different, each member of the Godhead has a different role. Amen. And so Jesus does something different than the Holy Ghost does. Mm-hmm. So when you start worshiping, when the Holy Ghost brings you to Jesus, you begin to worship the Father. And you begin to tell him how much you love him and how much you adore him and that you love him more than creation itself. And will you thank him that he's the kind of Father that the sun rises and sets on. And there's none greater than him. And Jesus goes, Father, here he is. He's ready. Amen. And then you present your petition to God. Amen. That should be the steps that you take in presenting your petitions to God. Then you know when you leave that throne, your petition is answered. Amen. You don't walk away going, I wonder if he heard me. I wonder if I prayed it right. No, if you go through those steps every single time, your prayers will be answered. Amen? Amen. John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus speaks of the Holy Ghost. He is the one that answers, takes you, or let me see how I want to say it. The Holy Ghost is the one, if you'll read those verses like, in that day you'll ask me nothing, but you'll ask the Father. If you'll read all those verses like that, if you ask in my name, he'll give it to you. If you'll read those verses, they're all centered around those verses is the Holy Spirit. Meaning, if you'll learn to fellowship with him in presence, meaning in worship, meaning if you allow him to teach you how to worship Jesus, he'll begin to bring his presence on you. It'll deaden your senses, and you'll go right into the Father, into the right to the Son, to the Father very easily. Amen. Won't be a struggle at all. Amen. But I see so many people wrestling with, well, I did pray. Well, if you pray, you receive. Well, I think I received, Pastor. Well, either you did or you did. Women, are you half pregnant or are you pregnant? Don't shout me down now. Well, prayer is no different. Either you are or you're not. Come on. When we initiate the discipline of extended worship, now get this, the flesh is going to contest you by using your emotions to fight against you. Your imaginations will begin to be multiplied. You'll begin to see things about yourself that you hate. You'll begin to hear what people have said many moons ago, and you'll think that it's true. All these imaginations are going to come running up. Why? Well, it's not that you're not born again. It's that your flesh is being offered on the altar of God. Flesh doesn't want to die. So what does flesh do? Flesh resists by saying, listen, we've been together for 35 years, man. I loved you when nobody loved you. I was with you when all the world left you. I was there when nobody wanted to be your friend, and I was there. And now you want to leave me. Flesh will talk to you and throwing it a lifeline. Amen. Flesh needs to die. Mm-hmm. Well, I need to get a better amen than that. Amen. Flesh amen. Needs to die. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to bring a baptism of his presence, the Holy Spirit's presence, to your senses or to your emotions, to the point to where you fight the battle with the world influence to believe what you've seen, feel, and hear. In other words, when people begin to pray, they begin to allow what they hear, what they feel, what they hear to change what God has already said. And it's, I love them amens back there. Let that girl in the pink there. There you go. Let her shout and scream. It's okay with me. That's the DTC baby, man. We prayed that child in here, man. Yeah, that child needs to be. She gonna be up here singing one day. Praise the Lord. If not, she'll be up here preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your new nature is the one that will promote the word to declare that it, the flesh, doesn't have the final say in the thing that you're praying about. Worship also has something to do with the anointing and that tangible experience of presence of God that you walk in, that surrounds you and fills this place with his power. The more you worship and practice the other disciplines that we talked about, the more tangible power will come into your geographical vicinity. In other words, you're going into a hospital and you know this person needs a touch from God. And man, you've conjured everything within you to pray and believe God that this person, by his stripes, they're healed. And when you leave that bedroom or when you leave that hospital, you're going, boy, I sure hope they receive something. Well, if you begin to worship God, that presence will precede you. That presence will be in that room when you get there. And when you lay hands on the sick, you'll understand God is there. There'll be changes. Monitors will start going crazy. Things will start beeping. Hot nurses start running in and wondering, what did you do? Well, you tell them God's in the house. God just walked in. God's moving. God's healing. You know, now you go do your thing and just make sure you confirm what God's about to do. Amen. But the thing is that once you spend time with God in fellowship like that, that anointing will begin to increase on your life. So if you drove by here tonight for one thing, that's one thing you ought to take home. Private worship, extended worship will increase the anointing on my life. Glory. And in this day and age and hour, there's not a, let me ask this question. Can anybody... Well, I'll ask this way. How many people here know somebody in a hospital with a terminal disease? Can I see your hand? Now, that's about 10, 15%. How many of you know somebody that's not gravely sick, but really sick? They have a terminal disease. They've got something that's, now that's about half the room. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you a believer? Amen. Well, the Bible says you would lay hands on the sick and the sick should be covered. You should be saying, I went over this afternoon, laid hands on a bald head, and God and Father, they healed. Amen? Amen. That's the kind of power we ought to have. Amen. That's the kind of confidence we ought to walk in. Amen. Yes. Now get this. Fasting can't give you what worship can, and neither can worship give you what fasting can. People that pray in tongues a lot, well, you can't expect to get what worship can give you. Those that never meditate to simulate, don't expect to get what if you fail to do that, don't expect to get that through fasting. Mm-hmm. They all have different, they work on different areas in our lives. Mm-hmm. Meditation by assimilation, what does it do? It brings the mind of Christ forward. I begin to think like God. I begin to act like God. I begin to have thoughts like God. Mm-hmm. Why? Whatever you subject yourself to the most, that's what you're going to act like. If you watch I Love Lucy, well, guess what? You're going to be a laughing redhead. Don't shout me down now. You know? Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with watching those programs, but if you saturate yourself with that, that's what you're going to be. Amen. And so we wonder why the church has no power, because the church is looking at world's worst idol or whatever that thing is y'all watch. You know? Love Connection and all. I saw one more day, some kind of commercial. But all that kind of stuff. All on television. And we wonder why we got no power, because we're subjecting ourselves to the wrong thing. Amen. So don't put all your confidence into one discipline and believe that one discipline will answer all of your ails. Now here, let me clarify this. Praying in tongues is a revelation gift. And the reason why praying in tongues will always lead you in the right direction, because praying in tongues, it will reveal to you what the Holy Spirit or God, the Father or the Son, needs to tell you that you didn't make a change. That is the way you commune with God. That is your connection with God. So praying in tongues, it will always, if you pray a lot in tongues, God the Father, God the Son will always be instructing the Holy Ghost, get him over here in fasting. You'll always be hearing this fasting message. You'll always be hearing something about fasting, and your ears will perk up on it. Or if you hear this message on private worship, you'll wonder, well, now, how do I do that? Well, that's the Holy Ghost telling you this is what you should gravitate to if you have a steady diet of praying in the Spirit. He can lead and guide you into all truth. But on the other hand, if all you do is praying, if all you do is private worship or fasting or meditation by assimilation or confession of God's word, if that's all you did, if you just confess God's words from sun up to sundown, you may grow in some areas, but there are many areas of your life that God cannot touch. He can't touch. This is why we give you these five disciplines. They will not fail you, I promise you. They will take you from where you are to a higher level in God. Amen. What the church is looking for is not a bigger building. It's not more property. It's not a better pastor. It's not a better a prophetic message. What the church is looking for is fellowship with the Father and the Son. Amen. That's what we lack. And if we can learn to fellowship with the Holy Ghost and let him take us to Jesus and let Jesus take us to the Father, we'll be balanced Christians. We won't be kooky. We won't be doing things we got the business doing. We won't be running around here preaching false messages. There is something inside of you called the Holy Ghost. And every time you hear a message that's untrue, he'll go, nah, wrong. I can't hear half the preachers on television. I can't listen to them. I try. But the moment I start listening to them, that guy on the inside is going, I said, well, if you're going to keep doing that, I'm going to turn the thing off. Don't need to mean it. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. And I'm like, well, why is it wrong? He doesn't spend any time with me. He doesn't spend any time with me. There is a big preacher I would know. If I called his name, everybody in this room would know him. Had a huge ministry back in the 90s. Huge ministry. And he prayed in tongues. Today, he believes in universalism. We're all saved and going to heaven. Now, I asked the Holy Ghost one day, I said, why did that man miss it? I said, he just admitted on television that he prays in tongues. You know what the Holy Ghost told me? He prays in tongues, but not enough in tongues. He prays every now and then. See, that's, to me, the problem with the church today. We spend some time praying in tongues, but we don't spend enough time praying in tongues. Well, Pastor, how do you know what's enough time? When you can hear from God. Amen. That's enough time. If you're going, I don't hear from God, you ain't prayed in tongues enough. Pray some more in tongues. That's not my message tonight. No, I forgot where I was. Let's talk about the woman at the well. In this scenario, Jesus is revealing to us the kind of close relationship that you and I can have with our Heavenly Father. Now get this. God is first my Father. He is first my Father, and then he is my God. He is first my Father, and then he's my God. My Father reigns, praise God. Oh, you didn't get me. You didn't hear me. My Father reigns, and his Son is King. As God has given me everlasting life and secured my future with the abundance of everything I will ever need that is inexhaustible, as limitless as his power, he beholds a creator. Everything I need, my God has supplied. Now, eventually, we're going to get on this thing called finances. And I'm going to tell you, most people are struggling with finances. There's no lack, ladies and gentlemen. There's no lack. The problem is there is fear in our hearts. That's the problem. The problem is our flesh is telling us what to do. But if we'll get in this thing called worship, I promise you, you will extinguish the fear in your life. But as my Father, he wants from me the kind of fellowship that emanates from my new nature as the result of my new birth, the born-again trail. I've been born from above. I've been born from above to give him praise. I've been born from above to commune and fellowship with him. I have been born from above. Amen. And that's why. So I can commune and fellowship with him. When Jesus was speaking with this woman at the well, here's what he was doing. He was separating the kind of worship that the Father had with the Old Testament saints and the worship that he would have with those that have a new nature. The Bible says in John chapter 4, 23, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, did you notice the word spirit there has a little S? Meaning what, Pastor? Does anybody know why it's little S? Oh, come on, class. He's talking about our new nature. We're going to worship him out of our new nature. That's what we're teaching you tonight. We're teaching you how to worship him out of your new nature. Not out of your head, not out of a book, not out of a song, but out of your new nature where he flows and where he lives and where he resides. Amen. Since the fall of Adam, I said this earlier, no one except Jesus could give the Father the kind of worship he preferred. It was not that the Jews did not love him and worship him the best they could. They just didn't have the right equipment. But you're not a Jew, at least not an Old Testament Jew. You are a New Testament Jew. You're a New Testament Jew. Hello, Jew. Hello, Jew. But the reason the Jews couldn't worship him, because they could not worship him out of their new nature. They could only, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go down to, what verse is that? For he seeketh such, I believe it's verse 24. For he seeketh such to worship him. God, it's not that God is hopping around from church to church looking for someone. What this actually means, that for 4,000 years, and now is that hour. Everybody say now. Now. Now is that hour that we are considered the true worshipers. We are the only ones that can give God that kind of praise. Now the sad thing is the church isn't giving him that kind of praise. Now the issue is, it's not that we don't have good musicians. We have good musicians here at Dominion Training Center. That's not the kind of praise that God is looking for. Oh, I'm getting worked up by something. I don't know what it is. I'm getting worked up by something. I don't know what it is. But God is looking for worshipers that will pull aside, that will go into their private closet, go into the bedroom when nobody's looking, when nobody can cheer you on, when your imagination is going, you ain't got time to go in there. Don't you know you got problems? Don't you know a doctor said this? Did you look at your checking account? Your boss is about to fire you. You just got written up today. Your car just broke down. And all this is going on. And in all that, God is saying, that's when I want you to worship me. But the church cannot do it. The church is having a hard time getting there. And the reason why they're having a hard time getting there, we haven't taught you how to worship God. With all these next several weeks, we're going to teach you how to worship God. When you get to heaven, and Jesus said, did you know I was seeking for a true worshiper? And you're going to say, well, no, not really. He said, well, that fast-talking black preacher down there at 5005 West 34th Street, he was bringing it one afternoon, so I know you know. Yep. Come on, somebody. Yep. But God is waiting for the time. God has been waiting for 4,000 years for worshipers to give him praise. In contrast, the Old Testament saints worshipped him out of their mind and their soul. It's sad. That's how we worship him today. It's sad. That's how we give him praise today, out of our minds and out of our soul. Now, listen to this. And they gave him as much of themselves as they possibly could, even though God loved them. Even though God loves those that don't worship him in spirit and truth, he loves them. It's not that he doesn't love them. Can I go a little bit further here? Did you know God loves people in hell? Come on, somebody. I'm going to change your religion here tonight.
Even though God loved him, he was limited to the amount of closeness he could have with him because of their fallen nature. They could only worship him through animal sacrifice. And even though this closeness could only be obtained, even though this closeness, the closeness that they had to God, which really wasn't closeness, it was really more of an association, but God still loved them. They worshiped him through the veil of animal blood. That was how close they got. Let's don't reduce our worship to that, folks. There needs to be no veil. Amen. The veil has been torn from top to bottom. Not bottom to top, top to bottom. That meant God tore that dude in half. I almost said something else. But God tore that dude in half. Amen. And God was saying, listen, now you can come. Mm-hmm. Now you can come to me. I have a message. I talked Lorena this on see, I teach my messages to my one-on-one students, and let's see how they go. But listen, did you know Jesus is your brazen altar advocate? Did you know he went to the brazen altar for you? Now, do you know what the brazen altar is? The brazen altar was where that animal was brought in. He was cut from ear to ear, and blood ran. That was Jesus did that for you. He's your brazen altar advocate. Well, Pastor, where you get there? We'll go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Well, isn't that an oxymoron to have a living sacrifice? All sacrifices I know are dead. But he said a living sacrifice. That's what Jesus did for you. He died so you could live. And what that's talking about, you coming with praise and worship and laying down your problems, your cares, your concerns, and say, God, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm not moved by that mess. I'm moving closer and closer to you, bless God. A living sacrifice. I'm laying it all down. It's not going to keep me out of my prayer closet. It's not going to keep me in my worship closet. I am going to get close to God. Every step I take, I'm getting closer to God. I'm not going to allow my challenges to go wasted. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching now. I'm not going to allow my challenges to go wasted. I'm going to use them, and I'm going to be in my worship closet and say, you see what's going on. You see the injustices. You see what the devil's doing. But I'm not moved. I'm not going to allow that to change me. I'm going to be changed into your image, into your likeness. The same thing Jesus was changed into, that's what I'm going to be. Jesus did not let nails in the hands and nails in the feet, 39 stripes to the back. He didn't allow that to change him. He went to that mountain, and he said, now, Father, is there any way I ain't got to die? He thought about it, didn't he? Thought about it 3 times. But he didn't allow that which he was facing changing into something that he did not want to become. We have to do the very same thing. Let me ask you a question. What do you think Jesus did night after night, all during the night? You think he was going, God, these 12 men you gave me, these are a bunch of knuckleheads, man. One of them is, he just talks like, he just says anything he wants to say. The other one's stealing from me. One of them going to sell me down this river for 30 pieces of silver. God, who are these nuts that you gave me? You think he was praying like that? No. He was like, God, I'm weeping over the world. I see it every day. I understand where you're coming from. I feel your heart, Father. I know what you're doing. Father, I thank you. My will is to do your will. That's where he received the strength. He understood private worship. Why do you think he was telling this woman at the well this stuff so intimately? Because he was practicing it every day. He was worshiping his Father extensively. Do you think that those miracles came upon him just because he was Jesus? If he did, God would be a respecter of persons. Don't shout me down now. See, I just tested your theology. Somebody listening to this tape going to say, now you know he's wrong. No, I'm not wrong. He laid aside everything. He laid aside his opulence. He laid aside his power. He laid aside his rule. He laid all of it aside. But he picked it up when he began to commune with God. He picked up that anointing. Hallelujah. And when death, matter of fact, he went to that, where is the maniac in Kadera? Is that what it was called? And that guy was in those chains, or he went another place, and they said, Jesus, Jesus, what have you to do with us? Have you come to torment us before the time? That was his anointing preceding him.
Amen. Yes.
Now listen, you can have the same thing.
Amen.
I ain't gonna get many claps on that because you're going on. That means I gotta go to work. Yeah, you're right. Go to work killing your flesh.
Amen.
Start putting that dude to, I almost said something wrong. Start putting that dude to death.
Amen.
Put that thing down. Let me go on.
John
5:19. Amen. Hebrews 10:4, getting back on the message. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That's where the Old Testament saint was. They couldn't get rid of that sin. They couldn't get rid of it, but you can. The day you got born again, your sin got washed away. Now, I'm not teaching greasy grace here. Grace is the power to overcome sin, not the power to get you to excuse your sin. Grace does not mean, well, he's already forgiven me, so if I do it, it ain't no big thing. That's not grace. That's messy grace. That's greasy grace. The grace of God says that's the power of God in me to overcome my flesh, the devil, and the world. That's the grace of God. Jesus made an astonishing statement in Luke 7:28, speaking of that new nature. He said this. He says, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not one greater prophet than John the Baptist. No, no, hold on here, because he ain't done yet. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John.
Yeah.
Now, why was that? Did he not consider David a man after God's own heart? Did he not consider Abraham the father of faith? Did he not consider Solomon the man of wisdom? Or Moses, our matriarch? Did he not consider those men? What did those men not have compared to the least in the kingdom of God?
A new nature.
You see why we studied the born again trail several months ago? It all runs together, doesn't it? It all runs together. Your new nature is more beneficial to you than you realize. You don't realize what advantage you have because you have a new nature. And there's so many people that have it and don't know what to do with it. In fact, they don't even know they got one. They know something happened. They got born again. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know that you have a new nature, you know what your Christianity gets boiled down to? Going to church. You're a Christian because you go to church. There's no mountain moving, burden removing, yoke removing power of life going on in your life. There's no signs and wonders following you. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. Man, when you start casting out devils, half church go, do what? That's that Linda Blair stuff, right? The Exorcist? Oh, no. Then when you get to the second one, boy, we sure got to fight. They'll speak with new tongues. Oh, man, that's what the church just get up and start fighting physically. Mm-hmm. Tongues. 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 That died with the last apostle. Mm-hmm. Tongues ain't for the day. Well, in my Bible, it says, forbid not to speak in tongues. I don't know how you could get by that one. But my point is that that never ceased. Bottom line is these are the signs that follow them that believe. Mm-hmm. But remember, Jesus said, the least in the kingdom of God, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than all those matriarchs in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Can I say something to you?
Yes, sir.
Quit reading your Bible and going, wow, look at the Apostle Paul. Wow, look at David. Wow, look at Solomon's wisdom.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus bought for you is more than that.
Amen.
When you get to heaven, you know what the Apostle Paul's going to tell you? Shh, come on, man, chill on that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just another, because I made many mistakes.
Yeah.
I made a lot of mistakes, man.
Mm-hmm.
just did what God called me to do.
Amen.
That's all I did. Nothing special about me.
Mm-hmm.
We go around thinking, man, the Apostle Paul was the man of the hour. Listen, we should be doing greater works than even the Apostle
Amen.
Paul was doing.
Amen. Yes.
I'm not putting the man down at all. I'm glorifying him. He listen, it took the Apostle Paul probably 30, 40 years to gain the revelation he got. I shouldn't have to take that long.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't.
Amen.
And those of you coming behind me or going behind somebody else, it should take you a lot far less to get it as well.
Amen.
You know why you won't get it? You won't do what the Apostle Paul did. See, the Apostle Paul said, therefore will I glory in my tribulations. He said, because when I do, the power of Christ rests upon me. He says, I glory in it. I don't allow a challenge to go by unused. I'm using every one of them, taking advantage of every one of them. Devil, you're going to learn, let me be. Let me be. You're going to break my feet in stocks. Watch me go to the next town. You going to throw stones at me? Watch me get up from this one this time.
Amen.
Amen.
He wasn't moved by it.
Glory, glory, glory.
Now, in that, I glory in what the Apostle Paul did.
Amen.
But I look at that, and we go, stoned? Oh, my. Gosh. You know when I hear that? When I was a little boy, we were throwing rocks, and I got hit in the head with a rock one time. And, man, that hurt. Now, we're throwing the rocks this big. The rock that hit the Apostle Paul is bigger than a softball, man. They were chucking them dudes. And they weren't aiming at the back. They were aiming at the head. Now that, I applaud him.
Amen.
But I got to get there.
Amen.
You know how we're going to get there? Private worship.
Amen.
Spending time praying in the Spirit. Meditation by assimilation. Confession of God's word.
Yes.
Fasting. I'm going to get there.
Amen.
I'm going to shred every ounce of flesh on me this side of heaven. And I'm going to
yes.
get there.
Yes.
And I don't really care who goes behind me. You may stop 5 miles short of me, but I'm going in.
Amen.
I may look like this to you. Boy, he's wagging, but I'm getting there.
Amen.
I may not look very pretty, but I'm going to get there. Glory to God. Let's talk about the Sabbath.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a type and shadow of rest. How many have ever wondered, God, why would God stone a man for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day? Man, for a long time that used to escape me. I don't understand that, God, for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. If you did any work on the Sabbath, man, there was a penalty to pay. But can I tell you why? Because Jesus is the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath. And what the Father was saying was this. If they picked up a stick on the day of rest, it would mean that your salvation could no longer be given to you by grace, but it now had to be earned. Now we had to have works. And I promise you, you don't have enough work to earn your salvation. You couldn't earn it on your own anyway. That's why he was so stringent, or he was so strict about the Sabbath, because it was a day of rest. It was it represented who we are right now. Hebrews, I think, is 4. It says, let us labor to enter into that rest. That's what worship will do. Worship will labor you into that rest.
Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Let us labor.
Oh, hallelujah.
It sounds like an oxymoron. How can you labor to rest?
Amen.
It's saying I got to fight off the temptation to do works and rest in what he's already done. Well, how can I do that? By the exchange, by me giving him praise and thanking him for what he's already done by grace, by giving him praise, by worshiping and magnifying him, by honoring his name. I'm telling you, in several weeks, you're going to come in this place, and all we're going to be saying, Father, we give you praise. We worship you. We magnify you. We honor your name. We bless you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise.
Yes.
That's what we'll be doing. We'll be giving God praise. And you may have walked in and the doctor has told you the worst news you've ever heard. You may walk in and your boss has just written you up with a 5-page write-up. You may walk in and your family, your wife has just left with the kids. You may walk in and you just signed bankruptcy papers. You may walk in and the worst thing could ever happen to you has happened to you, but you'll come in here and you'll give him praise and you'll be refreshed. Why? You will enter into that rest. You enter into his rest. You enter into his rest. And what will happen is you'll no longer be ruled by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in. You'll be ruled by heaven's rules and regulations that says this: be not concerned what you will eat or drink or how you shall be clothed, because I done got happy. My heavenly Father, that's what you'll be ruled by. You'll no longer be ruled by, it's a bad economy. I just got 5 write-ups today. I've had some of the worst I've had all day long. It'll not rule you anymore. You'll be free. Okay. He's giving me back my message. Let me stop. Glory to God. Let's talk about the worship on the earth. The worship in the earth. The personal worship in heaven, when you get to heaven, and I'm going to teach you a message on this called the worship in heaven, but I'm going to give you a little glimpse of it right now. The personal worship in heaven will first be spontaneous. Next, you'll not be able to contain yourself. Yes. Now listen to this. Yes. This worship will be without restraints because there's no enemy. There's no flesh. There's nobody to restrict you. I'm setting you up now. I'm setting you up. Just know I'm setting you up. Come on. Amen. And it'll be your greatest joy to prostrate yourself before him and give him crazy praise. In heaven, the urge to worship him will simply overwhelm you. And as you do, floods of joy coming and flowing from the throne will make you feel like you're the apple of his eye. You'll be down there worshiping you, and you'll look up, and he'll say, I'm looking at you. Oh! And listen, there'll be billions of people around the throne, but he'll say, Barbara, I got my eye on you. Oh, glory to God. And you'll feel like, man, you have just had the greatest thing happen to you in all your life. Yes. To please him will be the most fulfilling thing you will ever experience. Amen. When his waves of joy sweep over you in heaven, we will erupt in spontaneous praise. All right, now I just set you up. None of what I've just described is about work. None of what I've just described by worship in heaven will ever end. Now get this. And you don't have to wait to get to heaven to have that now. See, you were shouting a while ago. Oh, you was almost off your feet. Now when I said you can do it here, you're going, I don't know. Your flesh reached up and said, whoa, not so fast. You know why? Because that shows you how much in control your flesh is. I've already had those days. I've been in my bedroom, Miss Craig be over there asleep, and I'll be over there worship him, and I go, you got to stop. You got to stop, man. I cannot contain this much more. You got to hold off. Do you realize what you're doing to me? And I'm telling you, it's a way that comes on you, and you realize you're pleasing to him. And you don't care what anybody says about you.
That's right.
They can call you the big N, African American people. And you stand there shouting and screaming and praising God. Why? Because that's not who you are. Who you are is his son. Glory to God. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy his presence to worship. There is no distance between him and you. None. The Father lives in great expectation for your worship. Now get this, especially when all hell is breaking loose in your life. He expects it. He expects it. He's sitting there with his hands up saying, what you going to do? What you going to do? You going to worship me or you going to go worship your problem? But you're going to do one or the other. You can't do both. Because if you have been engaged in extended worship before, your problem's going to say, now you know this is going on. Now you know you got this problem. You know this is bad. You know how bad this is. This could be terrible. You could die. You can lose everything you got. Your family could disown you. They'll look down on you. You'll be embarrassed. That's just your flesh. That's the strongest thing he's got. That's the strongest thing he's got. Let me ask you a question. If I were to die right now, where am I going? And I'm worried about something? See, you haven't learned that verse. You've learned the first two sentences, but you ain't know the third one. They overcame. But you, go ahead and say it then. And the word of testimony. And most of you stop right there. That verse doesn't end there. There's a last part of that verse. And they loved their lives not unto death. And that's where I'm at. No doctor gonna tell me you could die, doctor. To live is to gain, but to die is Christ. You ain't said nothing to me, doctor. You ain't said a word, man. You think you're threatening me? You think I'm afraid of death? Listen, death has no hold on me. None. It's appointed to every man to once to die. Okay? Now, I believe God for the rapture. But if I don't rapture, I'm not worried about death. It's not a big deal to me. It's as easy as me walking out of this room and walking to the hallway. One minute I'm in the earth, the next minute I'm walking on the streets of gold. And listen, I ain't got to listen to you to criticize me anymore. Talk about my bad preaching on Facebook. Talk about half-assed talk on Instagram. All these ugly things you got to say, I'll get to heaven and all I'm going to hear is, son, I am so pleased. So pleased. I'm so pleased. You preached it. In season, out of season, when they didn't like it, love you not, shout it, scream it. You preached it all, son. You preached it all. Come on in here. But we can worship him and have these experiences that I talked about in heaven here on the earth. This is what it means to drink from the fountain of worship. In heaven, waves of his glory will cause you to erupt into worship spontaneously that will bring him much joy. But listen, you can bring in that same joy tonight. Woo! I had fun with this message. I've read this message about 25 times. And every time I read it, I'm going, oh, man. There ain't an ounce of this that ain't true. Not one ounce of it is not true. Not one ounce. There's not one sentence in this message that's not true. Every bit of it is true. Now, here's what I ask you the question. Church, why aren't you teaching this? Huh? Huh? Not a challenge. In the kingdom, the thing that separates from him is not distance, for there's no distance between him and us, but rather it's our spiritual maturity. Amen. However, by the new birth, we've been placed back into his presence, and now we can worship and fellowship with him as though we were actually in heaven. With this kind of worship, it has a great effect on our faith. When you begin to worship God, your faith will increase and multiply. You'll start believing. Listen, you'll start believing for your neighbors to get their house in order. You'll start believing for your coworkers to get their bills in order. You'll be able to have enough faith to believe for somebody else to get a job or whatever they need. You'll have that kind of faith. Amen. Now, they may bug you half to death going, well, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? You got to go, yeah, it's going to happen. Just chill out. But you have enough faith for them. Amen. Yes. That's what God is trying to do in the church. Amen. So the world can say, them's his children. Them his children. They don't just talk it.
Ooh,
they're doing it.
Amen. Thank you, my Father. Glory. Amen.
The church longs to fellowship and to commune with him.
Amen.
I done preached myself happy, out, dry. Drink from the... Now, you ain't heard nothing yet. That's just part one. There's part two coming up next week. Sometimes I'm going, can we take this for the next several weeks? I don't know. I'm looking for the room to thin out. Sometimes it's getting big, getting a little bit thicker and thicker to me. But my point is this. I'm not preaching to the masses. I'm preaching to one. I don't really care who's listening. There's going to be somebody in here that will take this message and run with it. You'll run with it. And you'll no longer have good days and bad days. All you'll have is good days.
Hallelujah.
And that's only going to happen when you spend time with him extendedly. See, I can sit and tell you the wisdom of God, what I've learned, doesn't do you any good. It will encourage you. But the greatest wisdom that you hear when you spend time with him and he begins to talk to you one-on-one.
Amen.
You're his children.